Friends, happy Friends of France Tuesday. Okay, let's play a game. K, or special K. G, big H. XTC, or MDMA. TNT, GHB, PCP, 2CB, K2, LSD. What are these? No, they're not just letters of the alphabet. They're actually nicknames of party drugs, or club drugs, or rave drugs, like ketamine, ecstasy, cocaine, fentanyl, and so forth. I've been hearing about these abbreviations for years because of my friends who love going to raves, clubs, and music festivals. I've honestly never tried any of these substances. Actually, I've never been to a rave before. I mean, no judgments from me, as long as you're not hurting others and hopefully not much to yourself. Well, for our episode today, I wanted to focus on one of the letters, K, or ketamine. Definitely is a known dissociative party drug, but actually, ketamine finds its roots within the more conventional halls of the hospitals. Introduced into clinical practice in the 1960s, ketamine is actually an anesthetic, used in both the fields of surgery and emergency medicine. Ketamine is quite special compared to other anesthetic agents because it actually acts as a respiratory stimulant, helping preserve breathing and protective airway reflexes, like coughing and swallowing, as opposed to other anesthetics, which usually suppresses breathing. But recently, outside of the surgical room and the emergency department, and even outside the very outside world of party drugs, ketamine has been gaining more recognition within the space of neuroscience and mental health as a modality to help alleviate symptoms of depression, anxiety, and PTSD for those who do not respond to traditional treatments like antidepressants or SSRIs. How does this mechanism work? And does it actually work? Well, we are about to find out today with our very special and expert guest, Dr. Mai Shimada, the founder and CEO of Isha Health, a ketamine-assisted psychotherapy company which seeks to provide access to high-quality mental health care. Dr. Shimada is a board-certified emergency medicine physician by training, having completed her medical school in Japan and residency training here in the United States. Since then, she has completed the Psychedelic Facilitation Certification Program at the UC Berkeley Center for the Science of Psychedelics in two areas, and the Ketamine-Assisted Psychotherapy Training Program at Polaris Insight Center. Currently, alongside Isha Health, Dr. Shimada is a study physician for psychedelic medicine clinical trials at Open Mind Collective, a fellow of the American Academy of Emergency Medicine, a member of the American Board of Preventive Medicine, and a visiting professor of medicine at Tohoku University in Japan. She has also been featured on Forbes Japan. What an honor to learn from her today. I actually first met Dr. Shimada at an ACE Next Gen, an API nonprofit panel last year, October 2024, and I knew that the moment I heard from her that I needed her in the podcast, so I'm so grateful that we have her on today. Are you ready to learn more about K? K, let's go. Get it? K? Okay, enjoy! What if a single cup of tea could hold a century of stories? Day Tea is a five-generation family business crafting award-winning high mountain oolong teas in Taiwan since 1918. Grown at the highest elevations, every leaf is hand-picked, all-natural, and nurtured without additives or herbicides. The result is an array of complex flavors that evolve with each steep, honored at tasting competitions in France and Japan. From premium loose leaf and tea bags to ready-to-drink cold brew bottles, every sip is an invitation to slow down, savor, and connect. Discover tea as it's meant to be experienced. Use code FRANZ, that's FRANZ, for 10% off at daytea.co. That's daetea.co. Valid until February 14, 2026. Brew it hot, brew it cold. Take a moment for you.
Hi friends, welcome to another episode of the Friends of France podcast. I've been so excited for this new season. There was a time where I thought that this season would not happen, but after meeting so many people and so many inspiring talks and conversations, I was rekindled again to start another conversation of very important topics that I think that the current system and the healthcare that we have, especially in America. I've been so inspired recently, and especially when I met our very honorable guest today. I heard her on a panel for ACE Next Gen's conference back in October here in New York City. And literally the moment she started speaking, I think my heart was just burning. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I need her to be on our podcast. And she really encapsulates the topics and the essence of the season that I was envisioning. So I'm so excited and so honored to introduce to you today, Dr. Mai of Isha Health. Hi, Dr. Mai.
Hi, Christian. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Thank you so much for joining me. Like I said, with no flattery, I've been so excited for our conversation because you are so inspiring to me and your journey to where you are now and very much the intentions of what you are doing now. And if you could just first please introduce yourself to our audiences. Thank you so much.
Sure. So my name is Mai Shimada. I'm a physician trained as an emergency medicine physician. Yeah, that gave me some intimate look at the challenges people face in acute moments of crisis, including mental health emergencies. I grew up in Japan and I was immersed in this culture that deeply values introspection and a holistic approach to well-being. And later, I trained in Western medicine, where the focus will be more on the dissection and pharmacologically driven. That led me to where I am today. I'm a founder and CEO of Isha Health. We are enabling psychotherapists to provide cyclic assisted psychotherapy. Yeah, I saw cyclic assisted psychotherapy as this convergence of both worlds, melding that introspection, the holistic Asian value, and that this innovation where we grew up Western medicine. So yeah, founding Isha Health was my way of addressing the gap that I saw in mental health care and helping psychotherapists provide effective and transformative care to patients through telemedicine psychotherapy.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I think that's, like I mentioned before, it's the theme of this new season is exactly that convergence of both Eastern and Western medicine, right? There's a quote that I recently saw online where it says, "What do you call Western medicine that works, and what they call Eastern medicine that works? Point blank, it's just medicine," right? So it's very interesting how, like you said, here in America, I think our direction towards care is very pharmacological driven, right? And I think it roots in the system of what we have here is very much controlled by insurance companies and also what they call big pharma. And it makes me think a lot of how have our ancestors have done it in Asia, and I guess even until now, right? And this is what we'll talk a lot about today, is that convergence, especially in a topic that's a very pressing, and I think what your company, Isha Health, really focuses on, right? Probably very multifactorial in nature, but we have heard talks, and obviously the tangible reality of it is a lot of mental health talks and conversations throughout the past few years, right? Specifically, I guess what's the most well-known is anxiety and depression. I just wanted to pull out some statistics that, according to the World Health Organization, or WHO, so 2023, approximately 280 million people in the world have depression. And in 2019, WHO also reported that 301 million people in the world has an anxiety disorder, making it the most common of all mental disorders. And given your training, which is in emergency medicine, and I've been in the emergency room many times in my life. I did dance and gymnastics growing up, so I know those ER docs have seen my pulled hamstrings and broken bones, and I had childhood asthma. And so my moments of, you know, shortness of breath, have they seen me, or my acute appendicitis, or even when I needed a cardiac ablation with all my chest pains. So the emergency room, from my own experience, and I know being a nurse myself with patients who have come from the emergency room, the ER is a place of just a mixture of so many emotions, right? It's the place of vulnerability, right? Everyone's there, probably the worst moments of their life. And I guess in your training in emergency medicine and your background in that field, I'm sure you have witnessed not just mental health in itself, but probably the acute and the most manic of episodes when it comes to anxiety and depression. Can you tell us more about the time that you first witnessed this?
Yeah, as you mentioned, the emergency room witnesses a lot of things, oftentimes the people's worst moment in life. And yeah, that applies to the mental health care as well. Many patients with the mental health care needs they don't have places to go. Oftentimes, they end up being in the ER. You name it, we see a lot of mental health patients with various degrees of severities. Yeah, it's very disheartening whenever I see patients with the mental health struggles who keeps coming back to the ER again and again. Even when they're receiving the care that they deserve, they still are not getting better. So that's the experience that what I witnessed firsthand and a mental health crisis in the ER as a ER doctor. So I feel like those moments of being with those mental health patients in ER left a really big impact because, yeah, the care we provide in the ER, just simply put, didn't feel like just addressing the deeper issue. So it was just a temporary fix for much deeper issues. So, and I think that really led me to become more interested in alternative approaches to mental health care, and especially for people who have exhausted traditional treatments. Yeah, psychoanalysis therapy was really intriguing to me because it presented something different in a way to explore the root causes of mental health struggles while helping people reconnect with themselves. So yeah, that's my expression from acute care setting to psychedelics.
Yeah, for sure. I think those terms have been really big recently, right? Especially in the talks of mental health, the idea of finding the root cause and also just how our system, especially here in America, places a bandage on those things, right? I'm curious, given as someone who has trained in both Asia and here in America and has probably have had so many hours and obviously experience and firsthand witness with the patients, how is the reception towards depression, anxiety, and mental health? I guess, how do they differ between Eastern and Western medicine based on your first-hand experience? What is the reception towards the idea of mental health, especially depression, anxiety, and how does the approach and treatment differ between miles and worlds apart?
Yeah, that's really a good question here. So just to give you in the background, I grew up in Japan and I went to medical school in Japan and they relocated to the States to pursue emergency medicine training and emergency medicine residency. So that's my training background in both two countries. So in Japan, mental health has traditionally, yeah, carried a certain level of stigmas for sure. It's often seen more as a personal struggles rather than the medical condition. So while evidence-based medicine definitely exists in Japan, the stigma can make it harder for people to seek help or even recognize mental health challenges as something that can and should be treated. As opposed to in the West, in America, there's a strong emphasis on diagnosis and pharmacological interventions, right? So, which makes seeking care somewhat more normalized compared to in Japan, but sometimes overlooks this broader context of person's life, which tend to have a big impact on people's mental health. So yeah, approaches have their strengths and limitations, and Eastern cultures often value community and holistic well-being, and Western medicine is usually delivering evidence-based treatment. So yeah, I think bridging those two perspectives feel like probably a good solution, being in the States, connecting to wards to deliver the best care possible.
Yeah, and I think that's what Isha Help is trying to do, right? It's trying to really bridge that, well, that very over gap between evidence-based medicine and I think the perceptions of society when it comes to mental health, right? So you mentioned about your interest and your journey in psychedelics, and I know that you have trained for and you built a whole new, not only company, but community based around this, right? How did Isha Help begin? And I would like to pick your brain and your experience, if that's okay, with the story that you told both during the panel where I first met you and also is on your website. It's the story of a friend probably from many years ago. And how did that lead you into creating this convergence of both Eastern and Western medicine now into Isha?
Sure. So my story really goes back to when I was 15 at the time. So I had this very close friend and I practiced Japanese archery pretty much every single day in middle school. And then one day she just stopped coming to practice and she was still coming to school, but I spent her days in the school nurse's office. And so when I visited the school nurse one day and I asked her like how she's doing, like, what's going on with her? And she told me that my friend had a cold in her heart. And yeah, at the time, I didn't really fully understand what that really mean, but looking back, she was clearly struggling with depression. And yeah, that experience was, I didn't realize until very recently, but I think that left a really big impression on me and made me realize how often mental struggles are misunderstood or even overlooked entirely. So yeah, that is my backstory leading up to where I am today. So yeah, I had that as a middle schooler and then became an emergency medicine physician eventually. And then so this mental health struggles in ER that reminded me of those experiences. And treated health was a pretty simple vision to make effective mental health treatment more accessible. As an ER doc, I often saw those patients at their lowest points, as we discussed earlier. They often struggle with the mental health conditions and the traditional treatments couldn't really fully treat them. So this inspired me to explore a generous way that could offer real changes. But our mission at Beisha Health is to empower psychotherapists to provide a kind of message in psychotherapy in a way that's personalized and holistic. So we focus on combining evidence-based care with a compassionate patient-centered approach, Western, Eastern conversion here, and for those patients who feel like they're exhausted traditional options, we try to offer paths toward healing.
Yeah, I love that so much. I mean, each time I read that story or I replay that story in my mind, it just gives me kind of just a warm feeling. And just the term that the school nurse used of like a cold in the heart, it kind of like really places a physical and somatic explanation to mental health disorders that many times, if you probably go around the street, people might just think of as a concept, right? Especially in, I would say, in the Philippines, the concept of mental health, now I guess there's more normalization around it, but the stigma definitely still persists. And I think the immediate title that people places upon it is the word crazy, right? Oh, it's just in their mind. There was even probably a few years ago, there was a viral moment during a noontime show in the Philippines when one of the elderly hosts said that depression and anxiety, that's just a sickness for the rich because the poor cannot afford to have that because it's just in their brain. And that caused such a ruckus and such a talk, right, over the whole nation when it comes to the conversation and approach towards mental health. And it's just so great that we have systems and programs like yours where we try to break down those barriers and those stigmas.
Tired of health fads and fleeting trends? Reprise Health takes wellness back to its roots, back to all natural remedies that have truly stood the test of time. Reprise is a holistic wellness brand bringing the ancient wisdom of traditional Eastern medicine into the modern world. Their daily gummies feature ancient Asian superfoods like ginseng, turmeric, and reishi mushrooms that are proudly sourced from KPC herbs, trusted by acupuncturists and herbalists for over 100 years. Whether to help you rest, focus, de-stress, or sleep, bring centuries of wisdom into your everyday health for 15% off at reprisehealth.com. That's R-E-P-R-I-S-E health.com with the code FRANZ. That's F-R-A-N-Z. One-time use and cannot be combined with other codes. Ancient wisdom, modern remedy. How do you know when something actually tastes good to an Asian person? When they say, it's not too sweet. And that's precisely what Wild Mannered set out to do. Founded by two childhood best friends who were tired of drinks that were too sweet, too artificial, and left them with worse hangovers. Wild Mannered is an Asian American founded brand focused on bridging people together with all natural, shareable soju cocktails. With flavors like strawberry basil, cucumber lime mint, and pineapple ginger, every sip is made with real fruits and botanicals and perfectly balanced at a lighter 13% ABV. Refreshing, smooth, and never too sweet. Get 10% off your first order with code FRANZ, that's F-R-A-N-Z, at drinkwildmannered.com or hit the store locator to find them in stores across New York City. Make your next get-together a little more wild-mannered.
You mentioned ketamine-assisted therapy, and this is really the flesh and the bulk of our conversation today. And probably our audience who are in their 20s or early 30s, the word ketamine might just be a rave and party drug now, but I think people are not aware that ketamine is actually a medication. And having worked in cardiac surgery for such a while, I mean, this anesthetic is really one of our most prominent ones, right? As we lead into the conversation of how ketamine, with evidence-based conversation when it comes to helping with depression and anxiety. I wanted to ask first about ketamine in itself. As a physician with your years and years of education and training, what is ketamine?
That's a really good question to start this part of the conversation today. So ketamine is a medication that has been used in medicine for decades, primarily as an anesthetic. So it was originally developed in the 60s, and it's well known for its safety and effectiveness, mostly in the surgeries and emergency settings, particularly because it doesn't suppress breathing like many other anesthetics. Recent years, ketamine has gained more attention for its potential for mental health care, and at lower doses than those used for anesthetic, it's shown to be therapeutic in treating conditions like depression, anxiety, and PTSD, especially for people who haven't responded to traditional treatments. So it works differently from most antidepressants, targeting glutamate pathways in the brain rather than serotonin, which helps improve plasticity and promote healing on a deeper level.
Such a beautiful explanation. Thank you. And I think I remember this during your talk in ACE Next Gen during the panel. When you were talking about neuroplasticity, I think the whole audience was like, oh, really? Our brains can create new connections and new neurons? So now that you have mentioned about ketamine and its benefits when it comes to mental health, when is the time where you would say, should we go towards the route of, let's say, SSRIs or selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors or SNRIs or MAOIs? When does one think of, well, maybe I should turn towards ketamine therapy for my depression and anxiety?
So ketamine is not the first line of treatment for depression, anxiety, PTSD, just to clarify. So the first line treatment for the mild depression, psychotherapy, moderate severe psychotherapy plus the medication treatment, right? So this is the first place you start with. But many patients start to hit the wall in their therapeutic process with the psychotherapy or simply didn't respond to the medication treatment. About 1/3 of the patients who received antidepressant treatment do not respond to the medication treatment for depression. So they become the treatment-resistant depression patients, right? That happens 1/3 of the patients. So that's a pretty significant number. So those patients who do not respond to these traditional treatments, ketamine is a good alternative treatment to consider, given its high efficacy.
Yeah, and I guess people know, like I said, with my young audiences of being a party and a rave drug, and also those within the ORs of seeing ketamine for anesthesia. How does ketamine-assisted therapy work? Like, how does its administration work? Specifically, what is the ESHA process of ketamine-assisted therapy? Let's say I'm a new patient and I'm trying to seek for consultation. What would be the full process be like from the start until the end, and especially during the administration of the medication?
Yeah, that's a good question. So ketamine comes in a different route of administration than or emergency department. We usually use an intravenous administration. In some practices, use intramuscular, and other route of administration would be subcutaneous, oral, and there are a couple of others, but those are the main ones, I would say. At ESHA Health, we are focusing on making this treatment more accessible. So we are currently using the oral treatment in combination with the psychotherapy to make this treatment more accessible. So the process will start with the thorough assessment to determine if ketamine treatment is right for you. And then safety is our top priority. So we screen for the suitability for the treatment and also contraindications like heart conditions or active substance use disorder, etc. And once we clear you for the treatment, you'll be paired with a psychotherapist for training ketamine-assisted psychotherapy, and a session typically involve taking a low dose of ketamine in a safe controlled environment, followed by the psychotherapy session to what we call integration session, process expresses during the ketamine session onwards.
Got it. I wanted to introspect more in that, I guess, hand in hand between ketamine therapy itself and psychotherapy. Why is it so important that both of these are part of the program?
Right. So yeah, it comes down to how ketamine works for the treatment of depression. So ketamine, as I mentioned earlier, works on the glutamate system, namely acting as an antagonist for the NMDA receptor, which is part of the glutamate system in the brain. Glutamate is the brain's most abundant excitatory neurotransmitter and plays a key role in neuroplasticity. So yeah, two things mainly happen. So one is that ketamine in itself has an antidepressant effect. So after you take the medicine, your mood gets improved and the anxiety dips a little lower. So that's the first part of it. The second part is just really the neuroplasticity that occurs after you take ketamine, usually maximizes the 24 hours point or so. So that time window where your neuroplasticity is enhanced, that's the time your rewiring of the brain is happening, basically. What happens with a patient with a depression or many other mental health conditions is that essentially rumination in the brain is causing a lot of issues here. It may be the rumination around your depressive thoughts, it may be about particular tasks you want to do, or certain small things, but that really bothers you that keeps coming to your mind. So those are ruminations. And by introducing your plasticity, we're essentially trying to retrain your brain in a way to get out of such a rumination, to respond to the stimuli in a different way. And in that process, psychotherapy system will be very helpful to reinforce such different responses. And so that's why combining psychotherapy with this kind of treatment is particularly effective.
Yeah, I love that. And I wanted to know how the response of your patients and clients have been with ketamine-assisted therapy. I guess we can also put this in the grander scheme of things is, what does data and literature tell us when it comes to, I guess, the efficacy and the effectiveness and the results of ketamine-assisted therapy for those with depression and other mental health disorders?
So to answer this question, most of the research has been done with the ketamine infusion without the psychotherapy component. And with that context, for among treatment-resistant depression patients, about 60 to 80% of the patient respond positively to this treatment. But they are largely dismissing the psychotherapy component, mostly because it's really hard to standardize such process, right? There are so many therapeutic modalities, and also the relationship between the psychotherapist and the other patient influences the success rate of the therapy session itself. So there's a lot of additional co-founding factors when you introduce a psychotherapy session along with the medicine. So yeah, there are not that many literature that is assessing the efficacy of ketamine-assisted psychotherapy as a whole. But within our clinic, about 85%+ of the patient with the moderate to severe depression responded positively to ketamine-assisted psychotherapy.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, and I think when you think about it, given that ketamine-assisted therapy is probably not the first line of defense, right? Probably most of these patients have gone through different medications and different therapies. I think it's kind of like a silver lining of hope, right? For another thing to be like, I hope this can give me relief and whatnot. But I think still within the conversation and definitely within the general public, there's still questions for sure in regards to the side effects and the addictive modality of ketamine. What would be the common side effects for one to expect? And how do you target the questions of people asking if it's addictive or not?
In regard to the side effects, the most common one I would say is nausea. Yeah, the medicine itself can cause nausea, but probably the worst part of this or ketamine treatment is actually the taste of medicine. It's really bitter. Many people find it very disgusting to take it orally. But anyway, so nausea is one of the most common side effects, followed by dizziness and some mild increase in heart rate to blood pressure transiently is pretty common. And this sense of altered perception during the session, which we are basically leveraging the stage for the treatment, but that is also seen as a side effect in certain contexts. Also, fatigue or headaches after the session is pretty common as a side effect. And in regards to the addiction risk and this treatment, the ketamine is a controlled substance, as many of you probably are aware, Schedule 3, a scheduled substance. And definitely there is a potential for the misuse. It has been used in recreational settings, as you said earlier. It tends to be not more higher doses. So the physical addiction risk with ketamine has been shown to be low, especially relative to many other controlled substances. A psychological dependency could happen. That's why it's very important to receive this treatment in a medical setting with the proper supervision by the healthcare providers. And as long as we have that this framework with the sample monitors, ensure safe and appropriate use throughout the treatment, the risk of developing addiction to this medicine is low.
Would you say that ketamine-assisted therapy would need to be lifelong?
That's a good question. Most of the studies we have so far have standardized this induction phase of a treatment, where usually 6 to 8 back-to-back sessions. After that, there have been not many studies investigating what the the proper protocol for this long-term use of that medicine. So we do have the established maintenance and the treatment protocol for that kind of assisted psychotherapy. Just looking at our own clinic, the duration of this treatment varies pretty significantly person to patient. Patients with a longer history of severe depression tend to require a longer treatment as opposed to patient with a relatively shorter treatment duration or the less severe symptoms, they tend to require lower number of sessions. So it varies patient to patient. Having said that, majority of the patients we have worked with, they start with this back-to-back induction phase and then transition to a much longer interval sessions. And eventually they stop the treatment or have a very infrequent sessions for the maintenance. We just don't have the clear answer to your question as yet, given the evidence. But based on our experience, by leveraging this neuroplastic effect on medicine to create a longer-term changes at the brain level to respond to triggers differently, I believe that the longer-term remission from this kind of treatment without the lifelong commitment to other treatment is possible.
What if your routine felt less like a chore and more like a ritual? Rooted in Japan since 1946, Uka Beauty creates everyday practices that remind us beauty isn't just how you look, but how you feel. At the heart of their mission is regenerative beauty, from ingredients that restore biodiversity to refillable, circular packaging that reduces waste. Their iconic Scalp Kanzen Brush transforms scalp care into full body relief, easing headaches, boosting circulation, and releasing jaw tension. And with innovative shampoos, nail oils, and serums, Uka restores balance and vitality with timeless Japanese sensibility and craftsmanship. Join the mission of turning care into impact. In collaboration with ROM Spa, you can get 15% off your first order at ukabeauty.com. That's ukabeauty.com with the code FRANZ. That's FRANZ. One-time use only and cannot be combined with other codes. Sometimes, it's not time that heals all wounds, but flowers, steeped gently into a cup of tea. Inspired by founder Lisa Lee's own healing journey from thyroid disease and burnout, the Chi is a wellness brand based in New York City on a mission to help people feel more joy, calm, and connection through the power and beauty of flowering teas. The Chi was born from the discovery of rare, single-origin whole flower teas rooted in centuries-old Eastern rituals. Each bloom is hand-picked at peak vitality by small family-owned farms across Asia to offer a grounding, sensorial experience that reconnects you to yourself, one cup at a time. Choose from the Shangri-La Rose, Blue Lotus, and the Royal Chrysanthemum and get 15% off at the-chi.com. That's THE-QY.com with the code FRANZ. That's FRANZ. One-time use and cannot be combined with other codes. Drink flowers, feel alive.
Just the topic of neuroplasticity alone is so interesting to me. And I think the first time I stumbled upon it back in school, I was like, it's just so interesting. Because when you think about it, right, when cardiac muscles die, it just dies forever. And you can't really recreate that. Certain muscles across the body, you can definitely heal it. But the fact that a very complex network of your neurons and your brain cells and just the ability to spark these connections, and especially with the help of ketamine as well, is such a very interesting topic that I know as we continue to advance our medical technology and our medical knowledge for sure through research, continue to learn more about it, right? Given this, I guess, what is your hope for Isha Health in the years to come and the domain of ketamine therapy as a whole? Or even, let's take it a step further, probably even the research of neuro and neuroplasticity as a whole.
Sure. My hope is that we normalize effective treatments like ketamine therapy for mental health care and making them more accessible to those who need them. And I also want to continue bridging the gap between the Eastern and Western approaches, emphasizing not just symptom management, but the true healing. So yeah, that's my whole career, my work with Asia Health. For the researchers, I am also on a study physician for a psychedelic clinical trials. Yeah, by the way, we're currently recruiting in San Francisco. If they first struggle with treatments and depression, interested in enrolling in clinical trials, feel free to reach out to me. My hope through this research is that yeah, different way to address this mental health care holistically. I feel that this holistic approach to mental health care is really needed and probably the only way to have the meaningful impact in patients' life in the longer term. And through those research clinical trials, my hope is to find a way to not just rely on the medicine, holistically approach that mental health care in a way to create a longer lasting effect on patients' care.
Yeah, I love that. Truly, that convergence is truly not just a path changer, but it's a life changer, right? There's so many who need help, but the access to it is very much limited, right? Alongside the stigma and the taboo that revolves and envelops that conversation. But that said, you have done such amazing work, such heartwarming work, especially what you do. My mind is trying to contain and encapsulate the amount of people you help and that could give hope to hopefully an aid and a relief from their symptoms. And from that, going back to your story of a friend, that cold in her heart, you know, back when you were 15, you witnessed this and it has never left you. And now you've built Isha revolving around this and obviously many other stories. What would be your message to that 15-year-old friend today if they could hear this?
Think to whatever that it's okay, Jasper. What you're feeling is a weakness. It's human. And there are tools, treatments, and people who can help you highlight in the darkest of places. So I think that's that.
I love that. I'm about to tear up. I guess even outside of your friend, we have said our statistic before of millions and millions of people who struggle every day, you know. And I guess just to make the distinction, right, you can be sad, but that does not mean that you are clinically depressed, right? It's just like extended periods of time of just like lack of hope and lack of interest in things that you previously enjoyed doing and just that extended coldness in your heart. You know, I'm sure so many have found the relief through Isha and just ketamine-assisted therapy as a whole. Let's say someone listening to this episode is at their wit's end. They have gone through so much, have no more hope for their life, have tried everything to taste even just like a droplet of peace and relief, but only to remain with no answers and no hope. What message would you give them?
I would say you're not alone and this moment doesn't define your future. Even when it feels like there's no way forward, there's help and support waiting for you. So take one small step, reach out to someone, change often is the smallest actions.
Dr. Mai, how do I explain it? This feeling that I'm feeling right now is the same exact feeling that I had when I was listening to you during that panel. And it really takes me back to why I really wanted to speak with you. I mean, not only am I inspired by your journey and your expertise, but just your generosity to open up a deluge of peace and relief and just that sliver of access to hope and hopefully peace and relief to people who are struggling. And so I'm so, so, so honored to sit down with you today and to have this conversation with you. Please invite people to Isha Health and how they can get in contact and receive help from your services. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah. So you can find us on our website at isha.health. That's ISHA.health. And it's pretty straightforward from the website. So I look forward to speaking to you.
Dr. Mai, thank you so, so much for sitting down with me today. It truly is such an honor. And like, it's freaking cold here in New York City, but my heart is really warmed up. And thank you so much for sitting down with me today to speak about your story and your work, which holds the stories of so many people across this world. So thank you.
Thank you for having me, Christian.